Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read through verse number 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. This morning we are continuing to look at the spiritual disciplines, and I want to continue to urge you and encourage you, if you haven't obtained a copy already of Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, or there's another book that came out a few years ago called The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg. These are really great resources if you are just, again, completely unfamiliar with spiritual disciplines. And Celebration of Discipline has sort of been the textbook on spiritual disciplines. If you are new, again, these resources will prove to be extremely helpful. Let me continue to caution, as we discuss spiritual disciplines, that we are not suggesting that these disciplines are actions deemed mandatory by Scripture or the church. But at the same time, we are asserting that the practice of spiritual discipline goes a long way in the spiritual life as we are in the process of being transformed by God into the image of Jesus Christ. How many people here remember learning how to ride a bike? There is probably no image that is more descriptive of what guidance means. I suppose that many of you went through the same experience I went through. I remember at age 6 getting my first bike. It was a Huffy, black Huffy bike with a number 6 on the front of it. And I remember it had 2 training wheels, and I wasn't too good at it. And I recall my brother and my father helping me steer and helping me balance and helping me do things that was going to make me successful at riding a bike. They would tell me things and how to do things better and how to pedal. And then there was a moment where, I don't know about you all, but I started not with taking both training wheels off. I just took one training wheel off. And, you know, I was kind of riding like that for a long time. And then eventually that day, when you take that training wheel off, and still there was my brother and my father just making sure I was going to be okay, and they were guiding me and helping me to ride this bike. In other areas of life, I suspect that many of us received similar guidance. Maybe it was learning how to fish and receiving guidance from the master fisherman or fisherwoman. You know, Chrissy's mom is quite the fisherwoman. And I was suspect that she was the one that taught her kids to fish and not her dad. Maybe it was learning to sew or make clothing, and you receive guidance on how to use a sewing machine and how to measure and cut fabric. Guidance is not a new phenomenon. It is part of life. It is the way of life. It is a way of life that in many ways has not been given more attention in the spiritual life. In the collection of the proverbial sayings compiled and used in the life of the people of God, we are inundated with words that seem to suggest that guidance must be a part of one's experience if they desire to be successful and productive in life. Thus, in the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, we get an instruction about the place of guidance. In verse number 5 that I just read, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. In the spiritual life, we are entirely naive if we think that we will journey through this life without guidance. One of the greatest gifts that we enjoy as participants in the kingdom of God is that we have the Holy Spirit as our primary guide. Hear Jesus when he said this in John chapter 16. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The blessed spiritual reality that we live in is one where God's Holy Spirit dwells within the believers and guides and leads. The working of the Holy Spirit is often a topic we find difficult in describing or explaining. When I ask the question, you know, how is the Spirit moving in your life? Many of us look with blank stares because we don't understand that there is a power working in us. We acknowledge it, but I don't think we spend enough time talking about how the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives. The working of the Holy Spirit is active and it is present in our lives. There is much that is misconstrued about the Spirit, and simultaneously, there is much that we are ignorant about the Spirit. Know this, God has given us his Spirit, and it lives within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16, it says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives where? In you." While we struggle to identify a guidance tool in our lives, let me direct you to God's Spirit. Don't let God's Holy Spirit to be the untapped resource in your life. It is in your life for a reason. Rather than discounting it or resting in confusion or ignorance about the Spirit, invest time and energy discovering what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. As we desire success or progress in the spiritual life, which might mean a departure from the sinful life, or it might mean a greater embrace of God's will in your life. As we desire success or progress, it will come if we are led or guided by the Spirit. Paul writes to the Roman church, chapter 8, verse number 12, "Therefore, brothers, we have no obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." The discipline of guidance is one where you place yourself in a position to be led and guided. It is a position of submission. It is a confession that you cannot do it on your own, and often not in your own way. You see, let me remind you that my life, your life, is not your own. It's not my own. Jeremiah asserts this in his prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 10. He says, "I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for a man to direct his steps. Correct me, Lord, but only with justice, not in your anger, lest you reduce me to nothing." Do you see that confession? Jeremiah understands that I don't belong to me. I belong to you, God. And only you can lead and guide the way I need to be led and guided. Paul confesses the same idea with a deeper twist in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see the implications of that deep spiritual reality? Still, there's something more to say about guidance, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit through others. Others as guides in our lives. Again, this is no new phenomenon. Moses was a spiritual guide to Joshua. Elijah was a spiritual guide to Elisha. Huldah was a spiritual guide to Josiah. Jesus was a spiritual guide to the 12. Ananias was a spiritual guide to Paul. Paul was a spiritual guide to Timothy and Titus. Priscilla and Aquila were spiritual guides to Apollos. Now, who here on earth has been a spiritual guide to you? I'm sure if I open the floor, many of you can begin to tell stories about people who God, who the Holy Spirit has led and put in your life to help you, to guide you in the way of the spiritual life. In the realm of spiritual formation, some like to call the concept of guiding someone in the way of the Spirit, spiritual direction. Eugene Peterson, who is responsible for the translation of the Message, wrote a book for pastors and ministers called Working the Angles. It's a great little book that I would encourage all to read. It's Working the Angles by Eugene Peterson. In this book, he offers a suggestion for ministers that would enable them to serve with passion and integrity and according to their calling. He says that there are three angles ministers should work, that their work should draw from for their ministry. The first angle is prayer. The second angle is scripture. And the third angle is spiritual direction. In spiritual direction, a minister continues to model and exemplify the work of the Holy Spirit through others by allowing themselves to be guided or spiritually directed by someone. Now, admittedly, spiritual direction is the angle that I have struggled to maintain in my personal ministry. When I was in school at Rochester, this was a powerful experience as I had a close, intimate relationship with one of my professors, who was both my mentor and my spiritual director. Just an aside, to see him preach is sometimes is to see me preach, because I've modeled a lot of things after him, even flipping my shirt cuffs back. That's what Dr. Fleer used to do. I don't know. I like that. I was blessed to have an experience where Dr. Fleer and I would meet regularly and talk about ministry, and he would speak honestly and boldly about my direction, about what I was doing and how I was going about it. And it was a blessing. We would talk about ministry, talk about the spiritual life, and I would listen, and in many ways, I would follow. When I lived in Lansing, there was a woman, as a part of our church, who went to school and studied spiritual direction and offered to be a spiritual guide to women seeking direction in the spiritual life. It was a beautiful experience, as I recall talking to her about her experience of being in relationships where she was a spiritual director, and also her experience with a spiritual director in her life. They would meet and talk about how God was speaking. And as a spiritual director, she was helping those who she met with listen for God. Now, much of this is probably foreign to many of us. But again, I say it's biblical and it's not a new occurrence. And I'm not recommending any scenarios open to abuse or manipulation. I simply speak of instances where we need others to help in guiding us in the way of the Spirit. I speak of instances like Wanda Ely here today, who for several years has been a spiritual guide to Jack and Cynthia. Jack and Cynthia, who used to worship here with us, and they moved on to Pittsburgh, and we need to keep Jack in prayer. Jack has been struggling with several health issues. And how do I know that he's been struggling with health issues? Because Wanda reports. And why does Wanda report to us Jack's health issues? Because Wanda is in constant communication with Jack and Cynthia. And during that constant communication with Jack and Cynthia, Wanda is sharing the word. And Jack and Cynthia have made a practice in their life of reading the word daily, as does Wanda. Do you see the beauty and the power of having someone in your life to be a spiritual guide? Praise be to God for what you are doing, Wanda. And praise be to God that I suspect that many of you in here have been that same spiritual guide for others. And praise be to God that many of you in here have allowed others to be spiritual guides in your life. It's like riding a bike. Some have guided you to a point where you don't need them to help you balance or steer. But unlike bike riding, where once you learn, you pretty much don't forget, the spiritual life is one of a never-ending, evolving experience. Life is like a roller coaster with all the twists and turns in life, and most times we need people to help in guiding. Let me be one to say that if you are in need of personal spiritual guidance, seek it out in healthy relationships. I would always recommend that women seek a relationship with another woman for spiritual guidance, or couples seek spiritual guidance from other couples, and men seek spiritual guidance from other men. Let's not give Satan an entrance into a spiritual discipline that is otherwise saturated by the Spirit of God. I can't help but connect this discussion with our current discussion in church about leadership in the church. It will probably be one of the functions of shepherds to serve as spiritual directors and to inspire and motivate others to not only receive spiritual direction, but to become spiritual directors. The goal of the discipline of guidance is like the goal of all disciplines: spiritual transformation. And the guidance of others in our lives is meant to help us listen, discover, and uncover God's will in our lives. We struggle and we fight to understand God's will. Participation in guidance makes it so that we don't struggle and fight alone. I have friends who tease me because I do the triple check. Anyone know what the triple check is? Do I have my keys? Do I have my phone? And do I have my wallet? Why am I infamous for the triple check? Because I lose all three all the time. When you lose your phone, what do you try to, if you have people in the room, what do you have people do? You have people call it. Call my phone. And I don't know about you, but in my house, you know, because I lose my phone so much, I have to station my family in different parts of the house. You know, okay, Kira, you go upstairs. Caitlin, you go to the car. Chrissy, you stay in the living room. I'll be up in the front room. Okay, now call. It's enlisting other people to help listen. Don't you see that that's what spiritual guidance is? You're enlisting other people to help you listen for the voice of God. You're enlisting other people to help you listen and uncover and discover God's will for your lives. It's a practice that you will do by yourself. But it's a practice that is better when you involve other people. Other people who are intent on listening with you to help you hear God. It's what Paul did for Timothy and Titus. It's what Ananias did for Paul. It's what Huldah did for Josiah. It's what Wanda is doing for Jack and Cynthia. It's It's what is taking place in many of our lives right now. So my warning would be the warning given to us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And my prayer is like the prayer of Paul, who said this in his letter to the Colossian church. He said, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So there's my warning, there's my prayer, and here's my hope, that we practice the spirit, the practice of the discipline of guidance provided by the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit through others. And may we be blessed on this journey, and may we be courageous enough to open our lives up to others. Again, we're not ignorant of some of the dangers and the abuses of what that entails. But let's not be so afraid of that, that we don't allow others to enter into our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to work through them. And don't you be afraid when God calls you to be a spiritual guide in someone else's life. Parents, there is a great practice stage for you to provide that spiritual guidance for your children. That's probably going to be the greatest role that you would ever play in anyone's life, is to play a role of spiritual director, spiritual guide in your kids' lives. Use that as training, so when your kids grow up and you're out of the house, don't think that your job's done. And understand that there are several people wandering aimlessly who need the Holy Spirit to work through you to guide them. And may we grow in the church, because this is about spiritual transformation. And if we are all being transformed, this church will be transformed. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is alive. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is active. Father, help us in our understanding of the Holy Spirit. Help us in our acceptance that the Holy Spirit lives in us, that the Holy Spirit is moving us, that the Holy Spirit is leading us. Furthermore, God, give us an understanding that the Holy Spirit is moving through others and helping us and guiding us and being spiritual directors in our lives. God, I pray that we would not be fools and reject guidance, that we would not reject the wisdom that comes through guidance and being led. But Father, as disciplined ones, as ones eager to participate in the transformation that has taken place, we will participate in the discipline of guidance. God, we pray that you would continue to bless this church, grow this church, mature this church. We love you. And we pray this prayer of submission to your will. God, we are eager to discover and understand your will. Father, we are eager to replace our own will with your will. So we need you. We need you every hour, every minute, every second. Thank you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anything the church can do for you in praying for you, if there's anything that the church can do for you in helping you as you wander aimlessly in life and you just seek some direction, well, let the church help. Let the church help in helping you discover how to get some direction. If you're not a Christian and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, you want to make a public profession of your faith and your love for Jesus Christ, you want to be buried with him in baptism, we want to offer that ministry to you as well. Let's stand and let's sing a song.